This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you for joining us today in the Radio Press Box. He's Scott, I'm Dan. And Scott, we have our first ever Radio Press Box intern. It took almost a year for us to get one, but they finally approved it from upstairs. Let's meet Steve. Steve, where do you go to school?
I go to school at Marist College in Poughkeepsie.
Marist College in Poughkeepsie. Now, he's a huge soccer and basketball fan, and he loves the Knicks, so we feel bad for him already.
Yeah, I feel terrible for him. I mean, my condolences.
It's a really tough time, not going to lie.
Yeah.
What was your reaction when the lottery dropped him to fourth?
Well, it's actually funny. A buddy of mine was joking a few weeks ago how the Knicks were going to screw up and draft someone like Emmanuel Mudiay, whatever your thoughts may be on him. And then we dropped a fourth, and of course, Mudiay's projected at fourth, and I just said, wow, this has really come back to bite me right now. I hope they go with Winslow, but it obviously was not a good time hearing that.
222-6397 is our number. That's our intern, Steve, and he's joining us as his first day in the Radio Press Box. So we decided, so now that we have a third voice, we could play a game called Worst Case Scenario. I was going to call it What's Worse, but that sounded kind of stupid. Worst Case Scenario. He's going to throw us two scenarios out, and we are going to determine which one is the worst of the two, not the better. So here we go. Number one.
All right, number one, LeBron James bringing an NBA title to Cleveland and then leaving, or playing the rest of his career in Cleveland without winning another championship.
That's a good one. Worst case scenario, Scott, what do you think?
Man, some of these are like, you know, I don't know.
You can say it. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say bringing an NBA title to Cleveland and then leaving.
That's the worst case scenario.
I mean, let's see here. Playing the rest of his career. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming you're saying leaves right after this, right?
Right. Like he's a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
Now he says he'll re-sign. He doesn't have the energy
to
do it.
Yeah, I think that would be like a shot to the heart.
You think so? Even with a championship.
Yeah, I think because like, wait a minute. You know, I mean, there would be tremendous euphoria and dancing in the streets and hopefully no cars set on fire or whatever, but... And then, like, can you imagine, like, okay, and by the way, I'm out of here. I'm bolting. You know why? Because I think that shows that he was a phony baloney then. Because all this thing, this great story, he's coming back home. He's sorry about the way he left. And this is home. I'm a Midwestern guy and stuff. I think that would show, okay, yeah, you got the championship there. And then the guy bolted on you. And you'll always, that'll be always tarnishing that trophy there and stuff. And he just like stabbed you in the heart again because he's going to the Knicks or whatever because he's just all about LeBron, really. What you'll come to find out instead of being this guy that I'm a Clevelander, I'm an Ohioan. So, yeah, I talked myself into it.
The worst case scenario, Scott says LeBron James bringing a title to Cleveland, then leaving is worse than playing the rest of his career in Cleveland without winning another championship. I tend to agree with you. Let's say he played the rest of his career in Cleveland, couldn't win a championship. But we look at all those old Bills teams, and we look at them, and we smile. Yeah, they lost four Super Bowls. But we smile, and all the players get back together, and they talk about all those good times, and it brings something good to Cleveland and for years to come. LeBron's not going anywhere. Whereas if he won a title and then left, all of a sudden you're the 97 Marlins. You're the 2003 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And those championships are long forgotten, you know. But I agree with you on that one in worst case scenario. How about worst case scenario number two?
Well, the second one is the FIFA scandal that broke today or the problems that the NFL has faced in the past 12 months.
Which is the worst case scenario?
Which is worse?
Yeah,
well,
which is worse?
I think the FIFA scandal... And I'll kind of, you know, I'll say this. I mean, because we're already talking about this being the biggest scandal in sports history. And, you know, I guess you can look at this from two different ways. Like from an American perspective, obviously you're going to say the NFL because it has an impact on more people, more sports fans in our country. But worldwide, you know, this is, you know, striking at the core of the most popular sport on the planet. And the other thing here that I would factor in is that you know, as much as we criticize the NFL, and believe me, they deserve to be criticized. They make it easy sometimes. I do give them some credit in that they did make changes. Now, you know, they're still screwing up and there's missteps here and there. FIFA has been corrupt for so long.
They make boxing look good.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. It really does. So I'm going to go on the grand scale here. When you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in bribes, and we might be just at the tip of the iceberg here, I'm going with FIFA.
Scott, I agree with you, and here's why. I think people may get murdered over this. And I'm not joking. I'm not trying to, like, make light of this. This is a situation on a global scale where you could see, like, people, like, getting killed over how bad this is.
Well, don't forget, like, that World Cup there with the Colombian
player. In 94,
player
who, he kicked the ball against the U.S.
Goal. Escobar?
Yeah. Yeah. The Colombia hasn't recovered since then from that game. As a country in soccer. So, worst case scenario, which is worse? Let's go to number three.
All right, got two young quarterbacks here. When Colin Kaepernick uses social media or when RG3 opens his mouth?
Which is worse, Scott?
Oh, this is a tough one, too. Look, I got a chance just briefly, like, to, you know, do the Q&A with Colin Kaepernick at the Press Radio Club Children's Charities dinner a few years back, and he was very accommodating, nice guy. I think he, he needs to grow up a little bit here and also understand the impact of social media and the impact of his words. The insensitivity he showed, toward the people of Houston who are suffering through those floods, you know, was inexcusable, but he immediately backtracked, and hopefully this is going to cause him to be a little bit more responsible and understand the impact of his words. So I'm going to go with RG3 opening his mouth, because I think that he just continues to do this stuff, you know, and I don't know if he's grown up. Plus, he's a guy who's not well-liked by his teammates, coaching staff, you know, and fans or whatever. So I'm going to give the slight edge here to RG3, but that does not in any way dismiss or condone, you know, the actions of Colin Kaepernick. That was not good.
Again, we agree that all these scenarios are bad. We just want to know which one's worse. So far, you and I are on the same page. Kaepernick is just, that wacky Colin Kaepernick. Here he goes again. RG3. You're supposed to be a smart guy, a leader, and profess all these things be all those things you've professed with your reality show, with your recovery, with your Subway commercials. You haven't lived up to it. And when your ex-coach, Mike Shanahan, is calling you out recently, I mean, it was bad enough when Steve Young says he doesn't put the work in. Mike Shanahan reiterated that this past week in WJFK in Washington.
Don't you think he has a little bit of an axe to grind?
He has an axe
too?
To grind, but at the same time, you know, nobody's coming to RG3's. I've not heard one person come to RG3's defense saying, he's really working it. Even his own coach.
Well, I told you, yeah, his teammates don't like him, so that tells you a lot.
Worst case scenario, which is worse? Number four.
This one cuts deep to Bills fans. The Buffalo Bills going a 16th year without a playoff berth or losing four straight Super Bowls?
I might surprise you on this one.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to say the 16th year without a playoff berth. And let me explain, okay? Yeah, it was very painful not having won a Super Bowl. But, you know, and this is another reason why I say, you know, I hate having to have an immediate opinion on a lot of things, because we rush to judgment. And time often proves us wrong. Over time, what we've learned is that the Bills teams from the Super Bowl era have become much more respected and appreciated by fans, not just in Buffalo, but outside of Buffalo as well, because you realize, like, well, nobody since has gone to four consecutive Super Bowls. And I would argue that we remember and revere those Bills teams, those Super Bowl teams, more than we do, you know, a team that had a fluke season or whatever. You know, Tampa Bay won a Super Bowl. I'm more impressed with the Bills teams that went to four and lost all four than I am with the one. Not saying that, yeah, it would have been beautiful if they had won just one, but if they had won one of those, all likelihood they don't go to four straight. So I think that was a remarkable achievement, as painful as it was. Going 16 years without the playoffs in a league that's built, you know, to reward teams and prevent teams from having such droughts, famines, whatever you want to call them, that's bad. And for this, you know, there's been along the way, there have been so many slivers of hope, right? You know, along during this 15, 16-year stretch. And this would just be yet another crushing blow because Rex has got everybody fired up. The Bills have been such aggressive players in the offseason, free agency, trades. I think 16 years is inexcusable and has just been terrible. My
father and I got into this argument after the fourth Super Bowl loss because he used to get so geeked up for every single game. We would live and die with every week. And he said, I would rather go back to the 2-14 years than live through this. I can't take it anymore. And I said, Dad, are you sure about that? You knew they were going to lose every week. You didn't get your hopes up. And after 16 years, and my father passed away in 2007. If he came back here today, hey, Dad, what if I told you the Bills still haven't made the playoffs? You're kidding, right? Yeah. I mean, I think this is way worse than losing four straight Super Bowls.
Yeah. I mean, I look back fondly, and with each passing year, I mean, now, yeah, I was in the middle of that. I covered that, but I also saw how that energized this region and stuff, and you saw how important Bills football was. So, yeah, I'm going there.
Worst case scenario, which is worse? Number five, Steve.
The current NBA playoff structure or the NBA draft lottery?
This is an interesting one because a lot of people are looking at the Cavs and looking at the East and saying that the Hawks shouldn't have been in. If you rank teams 1 through 16 in terms of how good they are in the league as a whole, you wouldn't have a team like the Hawks in the conference finals.
Yeah, I don't. Nah, I'm going with the draft lottery because, again, with the playoff thing, you know, everything goes in cycles and stuff. Yeah, now the East is weak, but 5 years from now it might be reversed. So, you know, those things happen, and we've talked about this before with the NFL when you have a sub-500 team winning a division. You know, them's the breaks. I don't like it, but what I wouldn't do, and I've told you this before, is I wouldn't allow that team that won the divisional title to host a home game. No way. Sorry, you're going to have to play the wild card team on the road or whatever.
So what happened with Carolina hosting Arizona this past year.
So I don't like the way that the draft lottery is currently constituted. You know my feelings. I don't like tanking seasons and this and that. And my feeling is put all those, you know, like if I finish, I'm the highest non-playoff team, the non-playoff team with the best record, I get more balls, okay? I get better odds of doing that. And then let's go down the road till we get to the last place team. And then we go inverse order for the playoff teams right to the NBA champion.
Do you remember when the Orlando Magic finished 41-41, ended up winning the draft lottery for the rights to draft Chris Webber? They eventually traded him for Anthony Hardaway. But the point was is that, you know, so after that, David Stern's like, okay, we got to reduce the odds again because we can't have a team at 500. So I don't know if they'll ever do that. Personally, I think the worst case scenario in this is the current NBA playoff structure. Go 1 through 16. Let's get the two best teams on the floor. I think we're going to have that with the Cavs. And if Golden State goes ahead and beats Houston, I think we'll have that. But I would rather see a team like the Spurs move a little, be in better position than they were in the first series when they got the Clippers. I don't think that was fair. Worst case scenario, which is worse? Number six, in turn, Steve.
So this is if the Chargers and Raiders both move to L.A., which is worse? The Raiders moving to the NFC or the Chargers moving to the NFC?
Two old AFL teams, the original AFL teams, the Fools Club.
And I'm probably looking at this from a, you know, from a Buffalo perspective, since they were long time AFL AFC rivals. I'm going to say the Raiders. You know, the Raiders still, for even though they've been an inept franchise, maybe one of the most inept franchises in sports over the last since they went to the last time they went to the Super Bowl, they've been dreadful.
It's the Bucks and Raiders both like fell off off the face of the earth after that game.
Yeah. So I'm going to go there. Although I like having both teams in the AFC, but hey, you got to change things around here if they're both going to be there. And there's still some talk that the Raiders might wind up in St. Louis.
Unreal.
You know, and St. Louis goes to, you know, back to their roots there, the Los Angeles Rams again.
Unbelievable.
So I'm going to go with, you know, the Raiders, I guess I would be harder to swallow.
St. Louis Raiders? I can't even say it with a straight face. It sounds too wholesome.
How about just keeping the Oakland Raiders playing in St. Louis or whatever? You know, like the strange things we hear. You know, like
right.
We have like, you know, so-and-so playing at whatever.
Like L.A. Raiders sounded cool. Oakland Raiders, you know, that sounded like John Facenda's voice. But St. Louis Raiders? Really?
Well, the L.A. Raiders didn't sound so cool either. I mean, you know, particularly for people, we always felt them to be the Oakland Raiders.
Worst case scenario, which is worse? One more.
Which looks worse? Greg Hardy having his suspension reduced after Thursday's appeal, or Tom Brady getting his suspension reduced whenever Mr. Brady and Mr. Goodell can clear their schedules for an appeal hearing?
And by the way, they haven't decided when they're going to do this. They're booked.
Yeah, I'm clearly going with Greg Hardy because of the gravity of you know, the charges against him. I'm sorry. The other thing we're talking about, our competitive edge and breaking the rules, you know. But there's no comparison between, you know, domestic violence and the PSI levels of football.
But the public's going to go nuts if it's the other way around, and wrongly.
Well, yeah, because Tom Brady is a bigger figure, and, you know, and again, it's going to smack of Mr. Goodell being a puppet for Robert Kraft.
It's worst case scenario. It's a new segment. We're hopefully we just gave the test balloon today. Maybe we'll bring it back next week where we give two bad scenarios. We determine which one is worse. Thank you, intern Steve. We appreciate you coming on and helping with us with that.
Thank you, guys.
It's the Radio Press Box, 222-6397. Rochester Red Wings winning earlier today in Durham, and they're going to take a day off, and then they'll be in Buffalo Friday night.
Yeah, and don't forget, the parent club just swept the Swept the Sox, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
so
they did.
The Twins are doing well. And Dan Mason's got to love this. He's got to hope these scenarios continue on because this way, you know, you won't have to come down and, you know, yank up different guys who are helping the Red Wings lead their division.
Coming up next, sticking with baseball, Alex Rodriguez, another milestone. Exactly. It's the Radio Press Box, 95.7 ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.